Welcome to CCH Healthcare Podcast. I'm Kelly Jackson, and this is Voices of Valor. Today, we're at Scarlet Oaks. We're inside their chapel mansion. Yes, there's a chapel inside of the mansion. And we're going to be interviewing Bradley DeFore today. But before we get started with that, I want to remind you about our merch, the merchandise, the Voices of Valor t-shirts. Please order your t-shirts and show your support for our veterans, because their stories need to be heard. But without further ado, we're going to bring on Bradley DeFore. Hey, Mr. DeFore, how are you?
Doing just fine.
Okay, good, good, good. DeFore, that's D-E-F-O-R?
O-O-R.
O-O-R, okay, okay. Now, where did that name originate from?
French. It's French.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
It's on my dad's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
They came to the U.S. just at the start of the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And they migrated here. And I am Jewish.
Okay, Jewish.
Where it originated from.
Okay.
And grew up here in the States.
Wow. Wow. So you said you and your family, you came to America, or you're from here? Or when
they
did you come
here from America?
Okay. From France.
From France.
Okay.
Now, I was born in Downey, California. Okay, so I'm California. I'm sorry about that.
Don't be sorry about that. I love California.
Back in the day, I loved it.
Yeah. So you said Downey, California?
Yeah, Downey, California. Okay. They're in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. I'm in Los Angeles. All right.
And good. In a small aircraft town called Lancaster. Out there in the Mojave Desert. They mainly was Air Force, or they working for the aircraft industry, or for the small system.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all they had.
Okay.
I graduated barely by the grit of my teeth, eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated a year early from high school. In other words, I did 4 years and 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I am college educated, but I don't hold a degree yet. I'm working on my doctorate. But that's not to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was mainly raised by my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to a foster home by choice. She was getting too old for me. I was getting too big,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to see what a family atmosphere was like.
Mm-hmm.
But that I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen to me after I graduated. So that's why. Urgency to get in the military after graduation.
Before we get to the military part, so how long before you moved to Cincinnati? Tell us about that.
I didn't move to Cincinnati. I worked for a number of years doing heavy haul oversized equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Across 48 states, Canada, and Alaska. Yes, I drove trucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pulling an oversized load that was out of California going to Pennsylvania. And I was northbound on 75 when I started choking and I couldn't catch my breath. I was wanting to try to get to the side of the road and stop the truck before I pass out. So I went
over. Right.
Well, I got to saw the tape of the, my ride, and I passed out before I could stop the truck.
Wow.
I spilled my load. I damaged both truck, trailer, and the cargo. I was flown from, I can't remember the name of the town, south of Cincinnati in Kentucky, over to an emergency room in Cincinnati. And that's where I've been ever since.
Wow.
And the accident was January 7th of 22.
That's a lot, buddy. That's a lot. So tell us about when you joined the military or decided to join the military.
A friend of mine was fixing to go in the military, and he was wanting to go in the Army, 82nd Airborne, and I thought that would be the trick to do. And as I got started and during boot camp, I was having eye problems. So they was going to discharge me out of the Army. But I went to the Navy and proved, you know, it was just eye problems that can be corrected. So I spent the rest of my time in the Navy. Basically from August of 73 to February of 77. And I loved it. Should have stayed in, but I didn't. Hindsight's perfect. But I was a boatswain. And I mainly did Liberty boats, where, of course, I got assigned to the old man's Liberty boat. It's OCMB, 32-footer. And I would transport basically officers from ship to shore. Then if there was room available, enlisted personnel. And sometimes it's some person or but was required to operate several type of small watercraft called an OCMB-6 and an OCMB-8. Like the great big old cargo boats that you can either call cargo or say, you know, people, you know, like the military, but they used in World War II. That you see in movies where they're charging, you know, the front of the boat drop down and all these soldiers off to go do their thing. But basically that, and then in the latter part of my enlistment, they transferred me to a AJ A-35 jets there in Oceana, Virginia, and we was attached to the ship. The original ship was the USS Nimitz as it first set sail. Well, that was a ride, man.
Tell us about it.
Oh, that ship was massive.
I heard of it.
And I loved to roller skate. My roller skate and roller rinks. Mm-hmm. But I also like, you know, would roller skate in the streets or on sidewalks, especially if they were smooth, because I went backwards. Mm-hmm. And was the very first person to roller skate on the flight deck of the USS Nimitz.
Wow.
Okay, bragging rights. But after my enlistment, I went into various forms of employment, from harvesting wheat and corn during the summers, and then commercial construction, where I did a lot of bridge work, and then road work, where we have wood lay asphalt on new roads or resurface old roads. And then custom home building, and then driving trucks over the road.
So it sounds to me like you got a lot of craft, like you know how to do a lot of things with your hands.
Yeah, I'm working with my hands.
Okay.
I went to school for civil engineering, but I could not handle a shirt and tie. I'm an outdoor person. Use my hands. I'll get dirty.
Right.
Play in the dirt. So then got in the driving truck over the road, and I've been doing that for about 34 years.
Yeah.
Till my accident.
Right. And that was sad. We heard that. That was really sad right there. And tell us a little bit about, did you get to travel a lot while you was in the military?
While we were in the Navy, during boot camp, I was supposed to be assigned to go to Sicily, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw it. But I did get to go to Naples, Italy. Mm-hmm. And from there, went to various ports, you know, in France, Spain, the Rock of Gibraltar, Egypt. I've been to quite a few ports.
Yeah, sounds like it. So can you remember your first day, how it was at basic training?
The first day, was just trying to get uniforms, get our stuff together, get dusted. Various body critters, which is like that. And then our bunk assignments, and then trying to get everything put away, beds made, and stand how to stand at attention, at ease, salute, march. And, but in basic, though, to me, it was a it was easy. Physically, there was not that much physical requirement. It was more classroom, because you had to take a lot of classes. So we got instructed, you know, on various subject matters during the course of the enlistment, and then we'd spend time marching and formation. But I enjoyed every bit of it.
Okay, that's good.
And I'd highly recommend going. Mainly because of boot camp.
Right. So you was in the Army first, and then you went into the Navy?
Yeah. But
how was the Army?
I was scared. Extremely confused. know, it's just the way I handle and process information. I have a speech impediment, you might be able to tell. Attention deficit disorder, which was diagnosed with. So I have to do things at my pace that I'm able to. Like math, I took to that like nut to water. But English, literature, history, I was dead from water. So, but it was just a mental trying to learn and restructure how to take orders. Just watch everybody else and copy them.
Go from there. So how was, what was your military job? You was in the military?
I operate motorboats.
Okay.
That was basically that, going from ship to shore. Of course, we did have to do some, you know, physical structural repair, boat, even clean and painted.
Right.
Sometimes we have to help out the mechanic, but just going from ship to shore.
Did you ever get to see any action while you was in the military?
No. I got in about the tail end of the Vietnam War. I didn't get to really see any action. Yeah. Except for the Marines and when they were on the ship. You know, Marines, you know, they're smart, sharp people, and they do know how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Get about 3 or 4 beers in the bar room. It's the Navy that takes over. That's our territory.
Gotcha.
But we did the. We tried to make the best of the situation and go from there.
Good. So tell us, what was some of your most memorable moments when you was in the service?
Trying to bring that when I was being transferred to the VA 35 attack squadron there in Oceana, Virginia Beach, was just trying to show up and be there. And make, I had to catch a plane from Lancaster, California, and fly out to Virginia Beach, where they met and picked me up from there. And of course, my squadron at the time was out on aircraft carriers, so I had to wait till they get back in. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I didn't, I handled mail and ended up getting a top ticket security clearance out of that because sense of and picked up my military commercial license. And then once I got into Italy, you don't want to drive their street them because Italians, they drive with that horn and with their hand. And they use it. But I would also transport our football and soccer team, you know, from ship and the shore, and then boats, the bus, you could say, from the land, shore landing point onto wherever we were supposed to go for either practice or for a game.
If you can go back into the military and do it all over again, would you?
Yes, I would. I really would. Because if you can get in, and once you get started and complete your first enlistment, stay in, because you basically got it made. Granted, the pay is not that great, but as you gain rank, you get more pay. And the higher the rank, the higher the pay.
That's good. So another question I just had for you. I'm just trying to understand when it comes to the military. So how was it for you transitioning back to civilian life?
Once I got into civilian life, I felt lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do or where to go, because basically I was unprepared for it. And it was a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. Because in civilian life, you either sink or swim. Military life, you kind of sink or swim too. But you know, it's just the degree of what's available and what you can learn. In the military, like in the Navy, you can get into a particular field or you can transfer to a particular field quite easily. In civilian life, you're basically, what can you do? And then you go from there. And I was a perfect chameleon because I would watch what you would do, and then I would imitate you. And once it clicked in my mind, I was a natural.
So, how was the food in the Navy?
Aboard the destroyer tender that I was first on, the food was acceptable. basic training food was good.
Oh, wow.
But once I got aboard ship, you know, it was not as good as it could be.
Yeah,
and you got basically what they served you instead of going back for seconds or thirds. They kind of frowned on that. But aboard the Nimitz, there were times that we had surf and turf on Friday, where they would have lobster or steak.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it turned out pretty good. Mm. If you want, and if you left hungry, that's your own fault.
Tell us about some fun times that you had on in the Navy besides that. Roller skating, now that sounds fun. Got any other stories?
I basically roller skated to a lot of locations just to see what was to see, you know, because low pay, just starting out, you know, you can't really afford a taxi cab. You take it everywhere you need to
go. When you got off base.
And, met up with an Italian woman.
Okay.
But they were kind of pulling the scam on the sailors because they wanted to get transferred, you know, get married to the sailors, get transferred to the States. And then a lot of times it's bye bye.
Once they got here.
Yeah.
Wow.
She wasn't. Yes, she wasn't.
You remember her name?
Well, I don't. Not accurately, so I'll go Geneva.
There you go. There you go. It sounds like you guys had a good time off base.
Well, we tried to make the best of it. Mm-hmm. Now, you can either get off ship and go walking around, you know, to the tourist spots and see what they see and experience, you know, like, you can pizzerias. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Oh, it is. And yes, she took me to meet her parents and experienced a 7-course Italian dinner, and everything was a panic. But I learned Italian out of necessity. One, so I can communicate with her, and another one, so I can go to a restaurant and order knowing what it is that I'm ordering. Mm. And so I don't sit there floundering, stepping all over my feet, trying to relate things. And then I learned a little bit of French, Spanish. When I learned Italian and then Latin, that messed up.
Wow.
I spoke more Latin than anything else. So I had to try to relearn.
So can you give us a little bit? You still know a little bit of that? Can you give us a little bit of what you got?
No. But I've been working and trying to relearn Hebrew.
Okay.
And language.
Awesome.
So
that's good.
I do what I do. I am a rabbi, but not so much in the strict Orthodox way that you might be familiar with or see on TV, or, you know, naturally comes to mind. Do believe in the Messiah and who he was and everything, though the majority of the rabbis don't really hold nice that idea.
Gotcha.
But I help teach the differences. Okay. When it comes to religious understanding.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So this has been awesome. I'm learning so much from you today. How long did you serve in the military?
I think 4 years.
For you. Okay. And let's say if there was a young man that got off track, would you recommend the military for them?
I highly would, because going into the military, it gives you a form of structure to help you structure your mind doing certain things, like making your bed and how to make it. Because if you got up in the morning, well, the military, you got to make your bed. But that's the first thing accomplished.
Yeah.
You accomplish that. And how to dress, how to present yourself, how to walk, conduct yourself. Mm-hmm. And then learning the type of executive training that you might be doing. And it gave you a place to sleep, basic, you know, your uniform and what you would basically need, meals, and a little bit of money to spend.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. DeFore, I done learned a lot about you today. Some things that I didn't even know. I appreciate you sharing your story and everything and coming on Voices of Valor. I do have, before we go, I want to ask you, do you have anything else you want to talk to us about? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, I have something for you. We're going to be giving all of our veterans a gift. And this is a gift. This is a Voices of Valor t-shirt
for you, buddy.
Because we appreciate you. We appreciate your service. And we just thank you for coming on today. I appreciate you, buddy. Yeah.
Smart. Real smart.
Well, we want to thank Mr. Bradley DeFore for coming on today. And I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Voices of Valor, CCH Healthcare Podcast. And remember, if you see a veteran, shake his hand and thank him for his service, because we can't thank him enough for what they did for us at CCH Healthcare. Have a great one.